I'm the one who requested that, in case you're wondering. And you can do that every Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. Let's open our Bibles today to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and beginning with verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. The title of the message this morning is Men as Trees. Men as Trees, taken from the words of the man that the Lord gave sight to here, when he said, I see men as trees walking. Before I come to the text itself, I want to remind us of three truths. First of all, in the Old Testament, it was prophesied concerning the Messiah, concerning the one who would be the seed of the woman, who would come and bruise the head of the serpent, he who would be the promised Savior, he who was pictured all through those types in the Old Testament, like the Passover lamb, that he, when he came, that he would open the eyes of the blind. This was prophesied of him. And I want you to see one of these prophecies. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 35. If you do not wish to turn, just listen. But in Isaiah chapter 35, we see one of these many prophecies in the Old Testament, and especially in the prophecy of Isaiah, that foretold that when the Messiah came, he would open blinded eyes. Here in Isaiah 35 and verse 3, we read, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall break out, and streams in the desert. It was prophesied of him that he would open blind eyes, he would unstop deaf ears, loose tongues that were bound, and he would deliver prisoners, those who were in spiritual captivity. Something else that we know is that when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent two of his disciples to Christ to ask this question. Art thou he who should come, or do we look for another? And the Lord answered those two disciples by saying this, go and show John again those things which you hear and see, the blind. The first thing he mentioned was the blind receive their sight. And something else, the Lord Jesus cured many of blindness. But we only know the name of one. We only know the name of one man. Some that he healed of blindness, we read that he didn't touch them at all. He just spoke the word, like to Bartimaeus. And some he put mud on their eyes and told them to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And one, as in our text, he put spittle on his eyes. Those are three things I wanted to bring out to us before we look at the text itself. Now, I want us to look at this miracle of the Lord giving sight to the blind man, and with others who were given sight, I want us to consider these three truths. This miracle, and with this miracle, other men that the Lord gave sight to. We're not going to read those other cases, but we're going to consider this miracle that the Lord healed this man of blindness and others. And there are three things I want to bring to us. First of all, there are three things that are alike. In every case, in every miracle, when the Lord restored sight to a blind man, or gave sight to a blind man, there are three things that are alike in every example, every case. And then secondly, there's one difference with this man, this healing here. And then third, I want us to think about a seeming difference. So three things that are alike, one thing that's different, and then a seeming difference as this miracle compared with the other miracles. What are the three things that are alike in every case? First of all, each one who was healed knew he was blind. Everyone that he healed of blindness knew he was blind. I think of an example I've heard over the years of I think it was told of Charles Spurgeon in his preacher's school. He would call upon men just to stand up and speak from a certain text. He would give them a text of scripture, and he gave them a text about a blind man being healed. And man stood up and said, well, first of all, he was blind in his right eye. And second, he was blind in his left eye. And third, he couldn't see a thing. That's as good as he could come up with. I had a class like that one time in Bible school. A few times a teacher called upon us just to stand up and outline a text and bring a short message from it. But one thing we can say about every case in which the Lord healed a man who was blind is they all knew they were blind. That's just a simple truth, and yet it's so relevant. And why is it so relevant? Because every man by birth is blind. We all come into this world spiritually blind. One of the consequences, and there are several consequences that we see in the scriptures when Adam disobeyed God, but one of the consequences immediately that we see is he was blind. That is, his not physically blind, I'm not saying that, but immediately his understanding was darkened. The very thought that he could hide himself from God who fills all places. We see his understanding was immediately darkened. And then we read just after that in Genesis that he had a son in his image. And so we know that we all come into this world spiritually blind. Our understanding is darkened. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 3 and 4, the apostle said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see three things in those two verses of Scripture. First of all, lost, and them that are lost. When we come into this world, we are lost. Even the sheep of Christ, they're his sheep. Yes, they are chosen by God and given unto him by the Father, but we come into this world lost sheep. But a person saved, a goat doesn't turn into a sheep. No, a sheep is found when one is saved. But by nature, we are all lost, and the Scripture says that we are children of wrath, even as others, speaking to believers when we come into this world. The first word is lost. If our gospel be hid, it is him to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Satan is. He usurps that place. As God, he is the God of this world who has blinded the minds of them. And we know that he's the one who tempted Adam in the garden. He's the one who came to them with the temptation, and Adam succumbed. He disobeyed God, and he brought blindness upon himself, spiritual blindness. His mind, his understanding was darkened. And then that text says they believe not. So if we turn that around and just look at it in the opposite direction, they that believe, our minds are no longer blinded. If they were still blinded, we would not believe. And because we believe and our understandings have been opened, then we're no longer lost. We're saved. I like, you know, as they were singing that hymn all ago, that hymn. I could not help but rejoice in thinking, what a privilege, what a blessing God has bestowed upon me all these years to be able to stand up and preach the gospel to sinners. It's like that woman that came to the well. Her life was in ruins. And when we come into this world, all of us, our lives are in ruin, ruined by the fall. One day, after giving sight to a man who was born blind, the Lord Jesus said something that may sound strange at first. If you look in John chapter 9, let's look over in John chapter 9. This man our Lord gave sight to was born blind in John 9. And the Lord asked him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he that I might believe?" John chapter 9 and verse 36. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." In other words, the Lord revealed himself to this man who was born blind. He had healed him. "Do you believe? Do you believe on him?" And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And that's always the fruit of those who believe. We worship him. We love him. We desire to serve him. If a person says, "Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus," but they have no love in their heart for Christ, have no desire to live for him, have no longing to be with him, to see him, to be like him, that faith is probably a dead faith. No, God's people, when we believe, truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we worship him. But notice he said, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind." Now, the Lord never caused anyone to be physically blind. He never looked at a person who had sight and said, "Be ye blind." He never did that. What is he talking about here, this blindness? There's a judicial blindness that when men refuse the light and refuse to see and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, refuse to confess the truth about themselves. Because notice what he goes on to say. "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Are you saying that we are blind? Preacher, you just said that we all come into this world spiritually blind." Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Clearly, he did not mean that they were not blind spiritually, that they had somehow escaped the fall. No, but if you knew, if you recognized your blindness, then there would be hope for you. your sins might be forgiven. They might be taken away. But first of all, you must recognize your need. The blind that our Lord healed, they all knew they were blind. You didn't have to convince them. You're blind. No, they knew they were blind. Suppose those who were born blind denied that there really was anything like sight. They'd never seen. They were born blind. Someone says, well, their mother, their dad tells them, you know, we can see. We can see your face and we can make. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's anything like sight. They'd never seen anything. I don't believe there's such a thing as sight. No, all of them knew that they were blind, and they all knew that there was such a thing as sight. In a spiritual sense, there are those who deny that they are sinners. They deny the fact that they are sinners and guilty before God. All men will admit they've made some mistakes, sure. Like that one man said, I made a mistake once when I thought I'd made a mistake. All men will confess they've made some mistakes. But that's not the issue, is it? Men are guilty before God and they are blind. Let me ask you, if you've ever had an experience like this, suppose you're sitting in a room and you just turn in a certain way and the light from the window is shining in, from the sun shining in through the window, and you recognize, you see, you've been sitting in that room all this time, and all of a sudden you see, this room is filled with particles of dust. Now, it's always been there from the time you came into the room, but you couldn't see it. Why? Because you didn't have the light. And a person must have light to see. Men, by nature, are blind to the spirituality of God's law. They look at the Word of God, they look at the law of God, and they say, well, I can do that. No problem. That's what the Israelites said, wasn't it? When Moses came down with the Ten Commandments from the mountain, they said, oh, we'll keep that. This is a covenant that God will make with you. We'll keep that. Absolutely. We're in. It wasn't any time before they had broken the covenant. Man, by nature, he doesn't understand that the law of God is spiritual. That rich young ruler came to the Lord, and there was many good things about that young man. And his coming to Christ, there was many good things. He came running. He kneeled down. He said, good master. He addressed the Lord in a good way, didn't he? But remember this, he said, all these things, when the Lord quoted several of the commands of God, he said, all these things I've kept from my youth up. The man was spiritually blind. He was blind to the fact that the law of God doesn't just deal with the outward actions, but it deals with the thoughts and intents of the heart. By nature, men are blind to the holiness of God. They believe that God will accept anything. The best they can do, God will accept. No matter how it is, God's obligated to accept. That's the very best I can do. But it's not good enough. That's the problem. And a lost man who's spiritually blind, he can't see that. And men by nature are blind to the filthiness of sin. You hear this quite often, or I do. Well, this is the way God made me. Excusing all kinds of sin. What if a man was accused of robbing a bank and he stood before the judge and said, well, this is the way God made me. You think the judge would have any mercy, any pity upon that. People say, well, this is the way God made me. No, it's not. No, it's not. Read the Word of God. Adam was made in the image of God. Yes, morally, upright, holy, pure. But after he sinned, he did not bring forth a child in the image of God. He brought forth a child in his own image. And it's now a fallen image. God made man upright, but man sought out many inventions, the Scripture says. I'm so thankful that I remind all of us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Or as the Lord said, if you were blind, if you were blind, if you saw your need of a Savior, if you saw your need of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you, if you saw your need of that perfect righteousness that God will accept, you would have no sin. But first of all, see your need. All of these were alike in this sense. They all knew they were blind. And second, each one who was healed of blindness was healed by Jesus Christ. He alone healed men of their blindness. It was not the mud. You know, he spit on the ground and made some clay or something like that and put on that man's eyes. There was no healing efficacy in that mud. Go wash in the pool. That pool had water in it like every other pool. Nothing clean or meritorious about the water, just like Naaman. Who believes that Naaman was healed of his leprosy by the waters in the river Jordan? It wasn't anything about the water that had any healing power. It was God who healed Naaman of his leprosy. And the same thing is true concerning each and every one of the blind men to whom the Lord gave sight. It was Christ who healed them. Remember the case of that woman who had an issue of blood, and she came behind the Lord, and she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this virtue is gone out of me. When she was healed, virtue is gone out of me. He didn't say, virtue is gone out of my robe. No, virtue has gone out of me. It's Christ and he alone who has the power to heal, to save, to cleanse from sin. The waters of baptism, they can't wash away your sin. You remember this story told about Sam Houston when they finally convinced him to join a church and get baptized. The preacher said, all your sins are washed away in this baptism. He said, God have mercy on the fish. There's no power in water to take away sin. Every one of the blind men who was given sight, they were all healed in the same way by Jesus Christ and him alone. Each one who was healed of their blindness was healed by Jesus Christ alone. He healed them individually. Notice he took this man apart. They brought this man to him, but the Lord took him apart. The Scriptures are very clear that there's one gospel, one Savior, one atonement for sin. And those who trust in anything or anything else or anything less than him are lost. And everyone was cleansed or healed himself individually. On the day of Pentecost, those people asked, what must we do? They asked Peter, what must we do? But the response was, repent ye individually. Each one had to repent himself. And every person must believe in Jesus Christ for himself. And third, each one who was healed of blindness was immediately healed. Now, some, like Bartimaeus, we're told, saw immediately. We're actually told that. But though this is not said of all, it was true of all. Just like when the Lord raised the dead. A person's either dead or alive. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. When he called Lazarus out of the grave, he was dead, and then he had life. So those who were blind, and then they saw. Every miracle was performed immediately. There's no progression in the performance of the miracle. And the same thing is true about salvation. A person is lost, saved. There's no in-between. A child of God or lost, one or the other. You say, well, preacher, what about this case? This case was like every other case. The Lord asked him the question if he saw aught. And you see, his answer was, he said, I see. I see. You either see or you don't see. You either have sight or you don't have sight. You're either saved or you're lost. One or the other. We don't progress into salvation. We don't work our way into salvation. Men are called and given life, and it's instantaneously. And that brings me to the second point. One thing that is different. They did not all have the same experience. Not all of these blind had the same experience. Some he touched, some he anointed with mud. This man he put spittle on his eyes. And this, no doubt, is to teach us that we shouldn't all expect the same experience. That God's children will not all have the same experience in the way they are brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've told you this before, but what if after the Lord's death, they had a convention in Jerusalem, and it was a convention for all the blind people who the Lord had given sight to come and meet together. And if the first man who stood up to speak said, the Lord gave me sight, he put mud on my eyes, and he told me to go and wash in the pool, and I went and washed, and I saw. I came back seeing. And someone else sitting over here, that's not so. That's not so. That's not the way the Lord gave me sight. He gave me sight by putting spittle on my eyes. You see, they didn't all have the same experience in this sense, but in some ways they all had the same experience. They all were blind. They knew they were blind. They were all healed in the same way by Christ. And they were all healed immediately. And the third thing, I want us to think of a seeming difference. And here, I'll use this man's experience to declare this truth. This man at first did not see clearly. He saw. Don't ever miss that. He saw, but he did not see clearly, but he came to see more clearly. And I'll just use that to point out the truth that when a person is given spiritual sight, those who are born again and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not full grown believers. There are babes in Christ. The proverb says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. A person who is recently saved many times is tempted by false teachers and by people who try to convince him of something that isn't true, and he may listen to that for a while, but the truth is, the light becomes more clear. The longer he lives in this world, the clearer his knowledge of Christ is, and his knowledge of salvation becomes. It's not, none of us are born knowing everything. I had a pastor for years, and he had a favorite saying. He used to say, if ignorance was heavy, we'd all weigh 2 tons. We'd all weigh 2 tons. And there's not any of us who could say, I've arrived. I mean, the more the Lord reveals unto you, the less you realize that you truly understand and know. We're all growing. We start off in kindergarten, don't we? Or preschool, probably. And we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this man. At first, he saw men as trees, but then as he saw, as the Lord spoke to him, he was able to see more clearly. For every child of God, the light he has in comparison to when he was blind is great. For every child of God, for the babe in Christ, the light that he has today in comparison to what he had before, it's great, but it's nothing in comparison to the light that we will have when we see Christ. We see through a glass darkly now. You know, that's a mirror, isn't it? A glass darkly. And their mirrors were made out of brass. And you looked into the mirror and you couldn't see a whole lot. We see through a glass darkly now. But when Christ comes, or when we meet him, we will see him face to face. Then the light that we have will be much greater. But it will continue throughout eternity. Throughout eternity, we will continue. He is infinite, and we are always going to be finite, always. Even glorified, we're finite beings. He's infinite, and that's part of the joy of heaven. As we see more and more of him, and the joy of the Lord is increased throughout eternity. How long is eternity? There's no limit, is it? When we see him, what a day that will be, the songwriter said. What a day of rejoicing when we see Christ our Lord. I want us to sing this hymn, Look and Live. That's the message of the Word of God, isn't it? Look to Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand as we sing number 195, Look and Live.